This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike. Hello, and welcome to the Boat Briefing Podcast. I'm Holly Majerison, the online editor, and I'm wishing all of our listeners a very happy new year. I'm joined by Boat International's business editor, Gabrielle Lazaridis, and in this first episode of 2026, we'll be taking a look at how the year has started across the superyacht world, from the mood in St. Barts over New Year to the major industry shifts of 2025, what's coming next from the world's leading shipyards, and what's been capturing readers' attention across Boat over the past year. There's no time to waste, so let's get into it. So here we are, 2026. Happy New Year.
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know. It's become like a stammer. I can't stop saying it in that way. And it sounds really sarcastic, but I'm genuinely just wishing everyone a very happy 2026.
And a happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. How has the start of this year been treating you?
Look, I'm not going to lie. It's been a little bit, I don't know why, but for this year more than most, it's been difficult to come back to real life. Although that might be just because I was in very sunny weather over Christmas break.
I think it's always hard to come back after Christmas. Mm. This year was quite nice because it felt like a slightly longer break the way that Christmas and New Year fell. But for you especially, you were in a
Do I look tan?
You look very tanned. For our listeners that can't actually see Gabby, I am looking at a very tanned, glowing, gorgeous Gabby, whilst I am practically translucent and just so pale. And as I keep saying to everyone, I'm in the winter uglies right now, but that's okay.
A little bit of fake tan.
A little bit of fake tan will fix it all. So go on, Gabs. Kick us off. Where were you over the Christmas period?
I had the distinct privilege of being sent over to St. Barts just to partake in the New Year's Eve celebration. It was quite a sight to see. Honestly, Holly, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was wild. I've never seen so many super yachts in one place before. And on top of that, there were tenders and jet skis and even e-foils just like zipping between them. It was actually complete madness, but it was really, really beautiful. We went on a tender ride where we just kind of cruised through all the boats for about an hour really slowly. And it was a yachtsbarter's dream. You'd be swerving your head left and right and you'd just go, there's Apo, Renaissance, Koru, Breakthrough, Maltese Falcon, Black Pearl, Chaos, which is my new favorite. I saw her in person for the first time and she is stunning. But it was endless. And you were having to update the article quite a bit.
I was going to say, I'm incredibly jealous of this. I mean, what a trip. It seemed as though the whole of the superyacht fleet was in St. Barts.
Yes.
I think it's, you know, it obviously happens every year. But this year, I think there were around 180 yachts there. Not quite as many as last year.
No. Do you know this year, the final count got up to about 211.
Wow. Okay.
So it was quite a substantial
big numbers.
Record. Yeah. I did have a thought about this, though. And I was kind of wondering why it was such a big jump from last year. I don't know what you make of this, but tell me what you make. I think part of the reason was more yachts are starting to use dynamic positioning, so they don't actually have to have as wide a swing radius. I don't actually know what you call that. And they can kind of park closer together. So maybe we're starting to see some more yachts being able to pile into the bay. Either that or the Caribbean's just making a really, really great comeback.
But maybe so. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I also think normally we update this article every year. And so we're always keeping an eye out for which yachts are there. And there's always some familiar faces, some new deliveries. I also thought what was quite interesting was I was seeing a lot of people talk about it on TikTok and social media. It was getting picked up on so many different platforms, and people just really interested in the owners that were there. And there was actually a lot of misinformation out there, and it was really people guessing who the owners were of certain yachts,
right?
Or saying the names of yachts and the builders and getting it completely wrong. So
I have a funny story about that.
Go on, around, detail.
Around Artifact, there were a bunch of people just going around the boat and they were screaming, Ronaldo, Ronaldo, because they think it's Ronaldo's. What's who? I'm sorry, I don't play sports. Who is the soccer player?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That one. Yeah, and they were just relentless around that boat. And I kind of think that it would be really funny just for the owners of that boat just to have a cardboard cutout of Ronaldo and just put it on deck.
Oh, 100%. That absolutely needs hilarious. To happen. there were a lot of yachts there this year. And as Gabby said, I wasn't in St. Bart's, but I like to think that I was, you know, there in spirit, because I started to write this article on, I think it was around like the 29th of December, thinking I've covered all the big boys. We're safe, we're locked in. No. I went on to Boat Pro each day, and it was just more and more the big boys were coming in. And it was just like a heavyweight standoff. So we ended up having Dragonfly, Rising Sun, Koru, so many different.
Apo,
yeah.
Renaissance. It was Kismet was there. I saw her for the first time. Apparently, this whole celebrity party of Miles Teller, his wife, Nina Dobrev, Glenn Powell, all on that boat.
Wow. Okay.
I'm wondering if they were, I think they were invited by someone.
They must have been. Yeah. I saw a lot of influencers actually out there as well, which is quite interesting. Mm. So lucky them, you know?
Yeah. Like it did feel a little bit more crowded than usual. I think part of it also might be because passage through the Red Sea is still considered somewhat of a risk. So I bet there are fewer yachts going over to the South Pacific for the winter that there would be normally. So you've got a bit more of an overcrowding in the Caribbean. But fun fact, it was also the single largest gathering of 100-meter plus vessels of the year. So more than the Monaco Yacht Show, more than the Monaco Grand Prix for Formula One. There were 13, by the way, that were there. And what was interesting to see was, especially at the in nighttime, you could see the tenders going between the different yachts, taking people to different parties. And the fireworks went off and it was very festive. But a lot of yachts don't actually tend to stick around that long. So as soon as the fireworks start, you can hear people start to pull up anchor. Mm. And if you had DP, like the ones I mentioned before, that you just saw them, like, it was actually quite funny. As soon as the fireworks stop off, it's like they just press gas and they just left.
Yeah, that's so interesting. But actually, also this year, something slightly different that happened was obviously so many of the yachts got stuck there.
Mm.
So we've actually done a little bit of digging on how this all impacted the charter yacht industry. So obviously there was, I think on the 3rd of January, a high profile operation by the US in Venezuela resulted in the capture of President Nicolas Maduro, which actually then triggered widespread airspace restrictions across the Caribbean.
Yes, I do remember this. Flying out was a bit of a hassle just because the airport was chaotic. There were so many grounded flights, basically any N registered plane. So anything registered to the US got grounded just out of an abundance of caution. They didn't want anyone flying over Venezuelan airspace. But the only reason that we got out was because we were headed in the opposite direction. And obviously we weren't flying with a US airline to get back to the UK. But that was wild waking up to that.
Yeah. I mean, it left so many guests stranded. Yachts unable to reposition, and obviously charter companies and crews searching for alternative plans.
Although to be fair, I wish.
it's not a bad situation to be in.
Everyone else got their holidays extended and I missed it by not being an American.
Yeah. It's
there are worse places to be stuck.
Worse places
in the world
to be stuck, but
go on, sorry.
I think for guests, maybe not a huge problem, but I imagine I was interested in thinking what happens if there's a back-to-back charter booked.
Ooh.
What happens then? How does this affect charter managers, brokers? You know, it's a ripple effect. So we've reached out to a few different charter brokers, and you know, they were commenting saying that guests were requesting to either remain on board as an extension. That's the option that I would have been taking also, or to find other yachts to host them, purely just for a bed to sleep in. Some people were exploring the possibility of cruising to the next port where flights were available sooner. So those are a few different things that were happening. So yeah, I think charter managers were trying to come up with different solutions. And obviously, crews were trying to balance, you know, guest comfort, readiness, and this travel chaos. So I think that some of the back-to-back bookings obviously couldn't offer extra accommodation, and guests had to stay in places ashore if the yacht couldn't take them. We also had comment saying that the St. Bart's New Year's Eve incident highlighted the limits of typical yacht charter coverage. So while standard APA and travel insurance policies may cover costs associated with extended stays, they actually offer little recourse when airspace is locked. And I think it's just one of those very unusual anomalies that happens. And it's a matter of charter brokers, managers, guests, crew, all working together to see what the best option is for that particular group.
Doubtful we'll see a repeat next year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to put anyone off going back to St. Bart's.
Not from what I saw. It's one heck of a party.
Yeah, it sounds like one not to be missed. Okay, so that's New Year. And then we're straight back into it.
Yep.
No time to even replace those January blues, because we are shortly zipping off to Kitzbühel in Austria for the Superyacht Design Festival.
My first one. I'm very excited.
Oh,
this is the event I've wanted to go to.
This is the event,
yes,
that you want to go to.
On the Superyacht calendar.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was my first time going last year. I think it's just a fantastic event. Obviously, it brings together people from the Superyacht design industry. But also, I think it's great getting those perspectives from designers from so many different industries,
sectors,
all bringing their niche and, you know, pushing designers to think outside of the box further.
The Superyacht community can feel very close-knit, very closed.
Mm.
And this is the first, not the first, but basically this is one of the only events in my mind that starts to expand superyachting out into neighboring niche and luxury sectors, where you're bringing in people like the fashion designers that designed the Bella Hadid, what is it, spray-on dress. Where else in the industry are you going to get these kinds of people coming in and talking to the superyacht sector? So
absolutely, yeah. And I think everyone's sort of challenging each other and pushing each other. That it's basically a big room of creatives. And yeah, there's some truly fascinating talks ahead this year. I'm quite involved with the Boat Artistry and Craft Awards, something that I think really is important in the industry to recognize the artisans themselves making these really bespoke elements on board yachts. So, you know, so often we look at the whole yacht itself and, you know, its exterior and interior design, but I love drilling down into the detail more and seeing how a product was made. And I know who the nominees are for this year and the finalists, and there's a great selection. So I'm very, very excited personally to see the winners of that, obviously, as well as the Boat Design and Innovation Awards. We've got that as well.
Of course, yeah.
So there's a lot packed into this festival.
And not least the Ski Cup.
And not least the Ski Cup, which I hope that you're taking part in.
I'm actually flying out on the last day. I think I'm going to miss it.
Convenient, that, actually.
Not convenient. I was quite upset about this.
Yeah, you need to stay on. We could have had you slalom skiing
down the
slopes.
Talk to my supervisor.
So you're also delivering the State of the Superyacht.
Yes, market? I'm not just going to have a good time. I am doing a little bit of work while I'm out there. But typically it's our managing director, Stuart Campbell, who typically gives this talk. But this year it's fallen to me. Still not sure whether or not that's a good thing. But
I think it's a great thing.
I guess we'll see.
Everybody wants to hear the upcoming, the global order book,
yes,
from the Boat Pro expert herself. So.
Well, we'll be going over the results from the latest global order book that got released last month. We also did a on-demand video that's now available on Boat's website of our research director, Raphael Montano, and myself walking through the results. And we also have a very special appearance from Azimut Benetti CEO Marco Valle, who stopped by the studio to offer his thoughts. So it's the first time we've done something like this. It looks great. But again, we'll be kind of covering some of those results in the talk. So
exciting.
Hope to see everyone there.
Yeah. And we will leave the link to that video in the notes below. So definitely make sure you go and check that out. But I think that leads us quite nicely onto the year ahead, actually. And, you know, thinking of the global order book.
Oh, great segue.
Thinking,
great segue.
Thank you. It's almost like I planned it. I think it'd be great to look at the biggest upcoming deliveries of 2026, because boy, are there some big ones.
Shall I kick us off?
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of biggest deliveries, we have what will be the world's largest super yacht. Just the world's largest super yacht.
Casually.
No big deal. Casually.
At what length?
At 194.9 meters.
194?
Yeah. She's a big boy. So despite delays in her build schedule and this construction period of over 8 years, which, makes sense when it's at this scale, she's actually officially expected for delivery in Q4 this year. So she'll certainly be hard to miss. She's armed with a total length of, as we said, 194.9 meters. She's got a 19,235 gross tonnage and a design from the minds of Espen Oinjo and H2 Yacht Design. So it will actually be a research vessel super yacht. And we did actually last spot it in March last year when she arrived at Darman Ship Repair to undergo 15 to 18 months of final outfitting. So, that's fast approaching. Q4 will be here in no time.
Don't say that.
No, I'm joking. We've got a while yet. But when delivered, the yacht will actually be available for charter with Burgess. So very exciting.
For people to join on research trips. Okay.
Gabby's looking at me as though I know the answer to this. I would imagine so. It sounds like it's not your typical or going to be your typical charter. You would imagine if it's got the scientific research, then it's going to appeal to a very niche clientele.
Yeah, how neat would that be though?
Yeah, really getting, learning more about our oceans, I guess. So Gabby, why don't you tell us about some of the other deliveries?
Well, until Q4, I've got an eye on Tanzanite from Amels. So I went to see her last year, actually, at the Damen Yachting Shipyard in the Netherlands. We didn't get to go on board, but we were able to see her kind of up close and personal and see just how big she is. So at 120 meters, she's the single largest Dutch-built yacht with the volume of 6,083 GT. Her exterior is also by Espen Oinjo, who has apparently been very busy these past few years, while Zaretti Design is responsible for her interiors. And I wrote about this in my interview with Rose Dahman, but I have a story if Rose Dahman, the managing director of Dahman Yachting. But I do have a cool story about Tanzanite's build, if you'll indulge me.
We will.
So apparently, Dahman Yachting needed to extend its quay to fit the project. But during the excavation process, they found 4 World War II bombs in the soil. So
wow.
It's apparently quite common because of listening in, but I've heard the English translation is actually flushing. The city was basically flattened during the war. It was viewed as quite a strategic area because of its production of military ships during the war. But yeah, the Dutch Navy had to come in and drag all the explosives out to sea and detonate them.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
I thought that was really interesting.
That definitely needs to go into the yacht report.
It's in my interview with Rose Dahman on Boat Pro.
She's already got the exclusive.
But what's next? What else are you looking at for the upcoming year?
I'm quite excited about the delivery of the new Boardwalk. So few details have been circulated on the Lursen so far, but it was previously known only as Hull 13797, not one that I would know by
memory.
But she was commissioned in 2022 by an experienced American owner. And as I said, specific details remain tightly under wraps, though she is believed to have an impressive gross tonnage of 5,350 GT to match her lengthy structure, which is 117 meters. So when delivered, she'll actually become the 20th largest yacht by length from the German shipyard, which will actually surpass the famed Apo by just 1.9 meters. So that will certainly be one to look out for this year. So go on, Gabs. One more from you.
One more. I'm really excited to see Project Cosmos from Lursen be delivered this year. So I've heard rumors that she is now renamed Nausicaa, but have you seen the movie Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind?
No. I can't say I have.
Okay, well, that's where my mind went first. But no, she's also known in Greek mythology for helping Odysseus on his journey home. Probably a nod to Christopher Nolan's film coming out next year. Maybe he even owns the yacht. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? But anyway, I just love it when owners and designers take risks. And that yacht is unlike anything I've ever seen. It looks so futuristic, almost like the most beautiful aircraft vessel carrier you've ever seen.
Yeah. And she's got that amazing, the glass dome.
Oh, I'm getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm getting to that.
I'm interrupting.
Anyway, Project Cosmos is 114.2 meters, designed by Australian industrial designer Mark Newson, who utilized so much glass on board. The entire upper deck is just completely covered in glass that wraps around the entire deck. And there's this big glass dome that sits on top of the superstructure, which is apparently the owner's private study. You'd never get me out of that spot. And she's equally impressive when it comes to her tech. So she's one of the first yachts in the world to be fitted with fuel cell technology, with two 500 kilowatt methanol fuel cells, which allow her to cruise up to 1,000 nautical miles at 7 knots. She was just spotted on sea trials, and we've got some fantastic images of her up on the website, but she's supposed to be delivered in the first half of 2026.
Exciting.
I think so.
So all of that from the yacht news world, which is very exciting. But whilst we've got you in the office, in the podcast studio, I'd also be curious to know what the biggest business stories were of 2025, because there was a lot going on, a lot of movement.
There was a lot going on. We do have a dedicated article covering, rounding up all of the biggest business news stories online, but just to keep things brief, I thought we'd grab just a couple of the major ones to go over. I would be remiss if I didn't say we started out the year with some very sad news, which was the passing of Azimut Benetti president Paolo Vitelli. He died in December of 2024, but the industry was awash with tributes for him in early 2025. Vitelli, of course, co-founded Azimut as a boat rental company at the age of 21 before moving into boat building, acquiring Benetti in 1985 and developing it into the single largest yacht building company in the world, which is a title they've retained for the past 26 years, according to the latest Global Order Book, which, like we said, was released in January. Now, he's survived by his daughter, Giovanna, who has been working closely with her father for many years, and she's moved into the role of chair as of 2023. But safe to say, the company is in very good hands between her and Marco Valle as CEO.
Absolutely. And so some other news throughout the year was there was quite a bit of movement. So Ocean Co. was acquired by video game developer Gabe Newell, which we have actually mentioned a few times on this podcast, so I won't go too into it. But so the yard was actually led by the Bawani family for the past 15 years, during which time it delivered a series of high-profile super yachts. And obviously, according to Ocean Co., Newell intends for the yard to continue its focus on excellence in yacht building, particularly emphasizing its people-first approach. So then at the Monaco Yacht Show, Newell further outlined his vision that focused on collaboration, quality, and long-term value. And obviously, we also know that Gabe Newell has taken delivery of the 111-meter superyacht Leviathan, which is owned by Gabe Newell.
And just to add on to the something that you said, the Al Barwani family, they still do own turquoise yachts. Mm-hmm. And I do remember speaking to him during the Monaco Yacht Show, and I put out an interview with him recently. But he was telling me about how, you know, he wasn't looking to sell Ocean Co. It was just too good of an offer to pass up. And some of his hopes are actually that because Gabe Newell comes from such a technical background, that maybe they can bring something to the industry by way of technological innovation that he hopes is going to have a trickle-down effect and benefit the industry and
absolutely
a bit more commonplace. But the other really big news of the year was that Lursen had acquired Nobis Krug after the latter entered insolvency. So Lursen is now in control of the Nobis Krug yard in Rendsburg, which I believe is now known as Lursen Rendsburg. So I don't think they'll continue to build yachts under the Nobis Krug name, which is really quite sad to think about. But there seemed to be a part two to the story. So a little later in the year, Greek designer Theodoros Fotiadis launched Astra Nord, which is being built as a German shipyard specializing in projects of 65 meters and above. So it's a little smaller than Lursen typically builds, and Fotiadis actually said the yard was conceived to, and I quote, cover the gap Nobis Krug left behind. And they've already announced a new 78-meter design known as Neon, which is available for sale with Moravia.
Fantastic. Well, all exciting movements ahead in the business world. There was also obviously the acquisition of Heesen Yachts by Dutch entrepreneur Laurens Last. So he is actually an entrepreneur and a packaging mogul, and he secured the Yard's financial foundation and supports its strategic growth in international markets. So the deal between Lawrence Last and Heeson was completed within 6 weeks, which we actually have got a podcast on. I think Stuart interviewed Lawrence Last. Mm. And this followed a record-breaking financial performance for the Yard in 2024, so the prior year. And Heeson described Last as a perfect fit, whose passion for yachting is expected to drive the company into an exciting future, which I'm sure he will.
So now that we've covered my little corner of the website, I wanted to turn to you and ask what you were reflecting on when we were doing all of our year-end roundups and some of the interesting things that you found.
Yeah, so I was particularly interested in looking at which of our yacht reports and features were the most read. So kind of a bit of a reader's choice roundup. And obviously, there were some fantastic yacht reports last year, which obviously focus on the recently delivered yachts. So the top one was actually Akula, which was Rossinavi's 59-meter Explorer yacht, which is built to exacting specifications. So yeah, I think it's instantly recognizable. You know, it's bold, it's brawny, and it's unapologetically individual. It's shaped entirely by her owner's decades of nautical experience. And our writer, Risa Mill, stepped on board the bright red new build to uncover a highly customized general arrangement, a sustainability-led approach to materials and propulsion, and a layout that prioritizes life on long, far-flung voyages. So she's got an ice-class hull, diesel-electric propulsion, and then she's got a welcoming design-led mudroom, which I'm particularly interested in. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. It sounds horrible, but it's pretty epic.
Also, I don't know if this is relevant, but it probably isn't. But do you remember something you said just reminded me of this? Mm-hmm. Do you remember in our Monaco review podcast, we were talking about the poop deck?
Yeah, I do.
While I was in St. Bart's, I tracked down a couple of crew and I asked them, what is a poop deck?
And what was the answer?
Top deck.
Interesting.
Top deck.
Okay. Top deck.
Yeah.
I think poop deck doesn't quite sell it, does it? You can't imagine that being on the GA anywhere. No.
They also schooled me on the fact that a transom does not actually refer to the opening bit at the back of a boat, which is what I always thought. The transom is just the swim platform. The swim platform, the whole back end behind the beach club, that is the transom.
Interesting. I think it must, I'm sure all these terms have evolved so much as well over time as design evolves. Yeah, interesting bit of information.
Don't know why that popped into my head just now, but it did.
I'm interested in it. And Akula is also quite an interesting one because she actually joined the market with Fraser as we wrapped up. I think she joined the market in December 2025. So she actually joined the market for the very first time since her 2024 delivery. And she is listed for sale with a POA.
Wonderful.
What other yacht reports were trending, Gabs?
Well, I'm just having a look now and I can see our second most read yacht report of the year was Maverick. So CDM's first Flexplore 146, which appeared in our February issue, although I can't recall if she was on the cover or not. She was built for an owner who wanted to feel more independence while on board, so not overly reliant on the crew to service his needs, which is fair when you think of yachts as a place where owners live on board and spend months at a time. Our writer, Katia Damborski, went on board to see how this would work in practice, and I rather like what she said. Here's just a sneak peek. You wake up, you see beluga whales, and you don't want to wake the crew just to get a coffee, says owner Tom Schroeder, which explains why there is a fully equipped self-service station, complete with coffee machine, fridge, and washer dryers situated in the master suite. It's just one of many unconventional design decisions that reflect Maverick's core brief, maximum freedom, flexibility, and independence while exploring the furthest reaches of the world. So definitely one to check out, not least for the interior shots, the inside of the yacht done by Francesco Paskowski and Margarina Casprini. It's super playful. It's got really bright pops of color and references to Top Gun all through the yacht if, you know, the name didn't give it away that the owner's a fan.
Yeah, she's a really fascinating yacht. And I particularly like the point that you've just said that she's kind of got this, the autonomy and the sort of DIY philosophy about, you know, I think there was a quote within that yacht report that said something about like everyone can stick a plate in a dishwasher. And he sort of wanted that, he wanted that great, attitude, which I can, you know, I get like sometimes you want a bit of your freedom and like you can do it yourself.
If you think about it though, if you're on board, you don't just go into the galley if you want an apple.
You know, you would have to call someone to come and cut you an app. Like, it just, if you're doing that for months on end, I might see why they want that.
Independence and autonomy. Yeah. Another yacht report, the third most read yacht report, was Casper 7, which was the 67-meter Benetti. And it sort of just proved that impactful yacht design doesn't need to shout. So it was actually our boat US editor, Cecile, that stepped on board. And I really love this yacht. She's got this very kind of, well, a vintage Riviera charm. So she's got these round portholes with a retro twist. She has artful dining in this pink-toned saloon. I just think the interior shots are really, really cool. And, you know, if you're going to build a yacht, why not be a bit more playful? And I just feel like it's very girly pop. It's got those sorbet stripe awnings and like the playful palettes.
Lots of very holly coded.
Do you know what? It's actually not. I'm a very neutrals coded person. When you look at like my interior of my home and my clothing, I'm not very playful.
My invitation must have got lost in the mail.
Well, you'd know this. You'd know this about me if you'd been.
I think I have been. To be fair,
But
you've got a great place.
I just think that this yacht is very playful, and it's got lovely pops of color. So, and kind of lots of tactile design on the handrails, and then it's got these like hidden treats throughout the yacht. So, yeah, some really strong contenders there, and some great yacht reports, all of which you can find on the website still. And I'm personally very excited to see what we've got coming up in the mag this year.
Well, there is one very exciting one that's been just released recently.
Absolutely. And it's the February cover star. Drumroll, please.
It's Breakthrough, everyone. Our cover star in February. I did see her in St. Bart's. She looked great.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet she was the talk of the town.
She was, but she's got these really lovely wooden handrails on the outside, which you don't typically see. It really helps add this elegance to the yacht. No, she looked great.
Yeah.
Notes. Well done, RWD.
Yeah. The aft steps are just absolutely beautiful. It's so unusual. And yeah, I think she's just very, very timeless. And we've obviously also got an exclusive peek at her interior. So if you want to see that, then make sure to pick up a copy of the February 2026, nearly said 2025, 2026 issue, because it's a jam-packed issue, lots going on, and obviously everybody wants to see what's going on with Breakthrough.
Well, speaking of 2025 into 26, Holly, you got any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, that is a very good question. I've got many. We had a team lunch, didn't we, last week? And we went around and everyone was saying what their New Year's resolutions was. And I said, you know what? Mine is just to be a more joyful person. Stop being so miserable and stop complaining. I don't think you're that bad. So mine is to just bring a bit of joy. January joy, perhaps. Maybe I'll have a different themed one for each month. So January joy.
Ooh, I like that.
Fun for February, which is very apt because we'll be at the Superyacht Design Festival, which is full of fun. So yeah, I don't know what March, April, May, June, July, August.
Sounds like the beginning of a great column series.
Yeah. Stay tuned. What about you, Gabs? Have you got any resolutions?
Mine's so much more boring than yours. It's just to cook more, rely on delivery less.
I think that's
less.
A great one.
I've been doing pretty well. I've been doing pretty well so far, but again, we're only 13 days in. So.
Well, I think we know one owner that would really like this attitude, and it's the owner of Maverick.
Tom Schroeder.
Yeah, exactly.
If he wants me on board, I'll cook some homemade meals for him.
Yeah, well, do you know what? You can start with me first if you want, because
do you want me to come make you dinner?
I would love that.
Great.
And also, Gabby's very healthy and always has lovely looking lunches, whereas I feel like I'm always just like, I'm straight into the biscuit packet.
No.
So, you know.
You've been going hard on the soups this winter.
It's soup season.
Yeah.
It is soup season. Yeah. But I think it's time to branch out. Some nice home-cooked dinners. So I'll let you know next
weekend.
Week.
Next week.
Next week, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to review Gabby's home-cooked meal. So stay tuned.
Great. I will not be on said podcast.
Cool. So that's a wrap from us for this week. So Gabby, thank you so much for joining me. It was a lovely conversation.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Catch you next time.
And that's it for this first Boat Briefing podcast of 2026. It's clear that the industry is entering the year with plenty of momentum and no shortage of talking points. As discussed, the February issue of Boat International is on sale now, featuring our latest breakthrough cover star. This was a production of Boat International Media, sponsored by Amico & Co. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow along on all of our social channels and newsletters. For the latest news, analysis, and market insight, visit boatinternational.com, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Catch you then.